recovery without having fun. So that's why I did that, to get the nervousness off my ass and to help me not say some shit I really want to say. So, woo! Thank y'all, thank y'all, thank you, Brianna, for asking me to share. Although I did not want to, it was not on my list of things to do. But I thank you because this helped me participate in my own recovery just for today. Woo! Wow. This is awesome. I'm glad only 3, 4, 5, 6 of y'all are here. I'm so happy this the 6 of y'all are here. That Well, like most of y'all, newcomer, I want to say welcome, 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 welcome. There's a seat here for you, like it is a seat for those who is ever to come. There's a seat for you and the person that is yet to come. There's a seat for me that have been here for a while and all others that have been here for a while. But for the newcomer, I want to say welcome to Narcotics Anonymous. This is where we meet regularly to help each other stay clean. Wow. My journey in recovery started a while back, and I need to not do the drug along and let y'all know that I used to live and live to use. That's how I got here. And it all was due to a relationship. I had a boyfriend that I loved so much that I cheated on him with the dope dealer. He found out, he left me, and my life was devastating after that. It's like I didn't know what to do, where to go. I was homicidal. I wanted to kill him and not me because he left me. Oh, it was devastating. It left a scar on my heart that I feel like would never go away. But that is how I found Narcotics Anonymous. Because my using had took me to levels I had never thought I'd be or go or do. So I asked for help. And my mother, bless her, rest her soul, I miss her so much and I love her so, took me to a treatment center. And I stayed in the treatment center for 28 days. Came out of the treatment, I was well. I was so well that I told all of my friends about the treatment, what happened, how well I was. If they want to go, I can take them and show them what I did and how it was. And all I meant. And then one person said, "Here, you want this?" I said, "Yeah, let me have some of that while I take y'all, show y'all how what happened, what they did, and how we did in the treatment center. Let me have some of that." I did that for a while. I did that for like 9 months. Because I didn't think y'all know how to use and stay clean at the same time. I come to the meeting high, go to work high, come back the next day clean, share my ass off, go to work that night, go use, come back the next day to the meeting high, and I'm like, they don't know how to do this, they don't know how this shit work. I know how to, you know, because I'm the smartest bear in the park, boo-boo. I know how to do this thing. Little bit known to me, I was dead ass wrong. That shit set my ass on fire so hard, it was unbelievable. But you know what? In the treatment center, they warned me that, you know, you go on this pink cloud and you go out there and tell everybody how you did it and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you're going to use and you be right back where you were. I didn't believe that. So I relapsed. So the second time I came back, that's what I did. I opened up that blue book. You know, we have a book. It's called Narcotics Anonymous Basic Text. We have a book called The Basic Text. It's as basic as it can be, simple, no big words. You know, I can read it. I understand it because that book was talking about my ass, how I did, what I did when I was out there, and what I did when I came in here. So the book talked about me so damn bad, I got mad, I was upset. It's like, oh shit, how did they know that was me? How did they know? So after relapsing, coming back in with the guilt and the shame, coming to the meetings with my head between my ass, feeling so ashamed about what I had done, what I'd just done, you know, somebody told me, they said, "Beverly, you ain't unique. You ain't no different than the rest of us. So why don't you come in here and sit your ass down and get this recovery if you want it." The guilt was so, so devastating to me that I did. I sit down and I got recovery. Along the way with me getting the recovery that I still have to this day, I read the basic text. I got me a sponsor. I did everything my sponsor did. She was in service work. She was going to meetings, sharing her ass off. I thought I can go to meetings, share my ass off, get up in there. I didn't know what the hell I was saying or who I was saying it to. It's almost like I was making up shit, because lying is the thing that I do, and I think I do it very well. I am the best liar that ever was. Here I am. But little did I know that shit wouldn't get... It didn't help me any. It caused me a whole lot of pain because, you know, in the course of me working with my sponsor, doing service work, going to meetings, getting ready to work some steps, you know, she kept saying, "Well, who are you lying to? And why are you lying?" I'm lying to y'all. Ain't that? Don't y'all get it? That? The only person that knows the truth is me. But if I tell you the shit, you're supposed to believe everything I say. She said, "You ain't fooling no damn body but yourself. Because don't nobody believe half of the shit you say out of your mouth." I'm like, "Oh, damn." So during the course of that, when I found out that lying wasn't going to get me anywhere, I started working the steps. Started working the steps, being of service. I have found a home group. Participating in the home group, doing what I knew I was supposed to do, because I did everything my sponsor did because I wanted what she had. And to this day, I still had that same sponsor. And we're still doing the same things we did in the beginning. We're doing service work, participating in recovery. We have a home group. Do service work at the area level and at, you know, my home group level. And I absolutely love it. As years went by, you know what I did, and I found myself getting very complacent. I was sick of y'all. I ain't want to hear shit y'all had to say. Half of y'all was lying. I ain't want to hear none of that shit. It's like, I ain't coming back no more, because I'm about sick of y'all's ass. My sponsor said, "Well, where you going?" I said, "I don't know, but I ain't coming back here because I'm just sick." She said, "Okay, then, but when you get back, just let me know." How did it work out for you? I thought about it and I thought about it. I found it not necessary to go anywhere. I just stayed mad with y'all's ass and stayed at home for a little while, and then I came back. And I always did service work. I always did participate in my home group. So there was never a question of, you know, coming to the meetings. I've always done that, because that was where I got my foundation from, is coming to a meeting and making a meeting my home group. And allow, you know, other people get to know me and I get to know other people. Because sometimes I need someone to call. Sometimes I need somebody to call me on my shit, because, you know, I think I can get away with some shit because, you know, I told you I'm the best liar that ever was. So I think I can get away with some shit, but that, after working some steps for a while, I started to find it not necessary to lie all the time. You know, I started getting honest with myself and start getting honest with other people. And it worked for me. In 2014, I lost my mother. My mother got sick in November of 2013. She didn't want us, I got four other sisters and I'm the oldest. She did not want any of us to know that she was sick. So when she got sick, I had a job that allowed me to help take care of my mother. In the course of me taking care of my mother, death never entered into my brain. It never entered into my mind or my brain that my mother would die. Never. I never even imagined or thought it would be. I thought my mother would be here forever. And no one could ever have told me that she would not. So she went into hospice in her living room, because that's where she wanted to be, in her living room. She did hospice from October 2013, and she passed away in January 23rd of 2014. After she passed away, I was devastated. I could not believe that my mother had just passed away. And sometimes this is really hard for me to even believe that my mother is not here with me, because my mother is the one that took me to the treatment center for me to get the help that I needed. And I was real grateful that she was able to see me clean. We did a lot of things together. She was my best friend. Everywhere I went, I took her. She respected my recovery because my mother drinks. And so every time she would come over my house, she would leave her drink at home or in the car, or sometimes she wouldn't even bring her drink in the car because she knew how I valued my recovery and how important it was for me to not have any of that stuff around me. So she never, you know, at some point she stopped bringing alcohol around me. But I miss her, and those of you who have family members, you know, because it took a minute for me to rekindle that relationship I had with my sisters and my mom, because I used so bad. My mother, you know, a lot of days she just sit there and shook her head and like, what the hell are you doing? Why do you know what you're doing? And I had a daughter at the time. So my mother really took care of my daughter from the age of, from the age of five all the way till she was like 14 years old, because I could not stop using. But one of the things that I did was I always kept a job, because I knew that I could not have a job and use like I was using, because I was my only source of income that I had. You know, and I would go out there and I would use people, but it only be for a moment. You know, I still had to live after that or find ways to live after that. So I was my only source of income that I had. So I had to continue to work. But in the course of my mother being sick, you know, I went to meetings. I came and I shared about how I was feeling, about what I was going through, watching my mother die. Then after my mother passed away, you know, the support group that I had, they came and they supported me through the whole ordeal with my mother passing. That's one of the reasons why newcomer, old timers, everybody, it is very, very, very important. I found out that I have a support group, a group of women that, and I don't know if I need them or when I need them, and I don't know when they need me or if they need me, but I have a group of women in my support group that I go to and I let them know about what, even the women I sponsor, I don't keep anything from them. I tell them everything that's going on with me, and I need to say that only if they ask. If they don't ask, I ain't telling it. But I will come in a meeting and talk about what's going on with me, you know, in my home group and stuff, because I feel like, you know, what other place would I go and share how I'm feeling and what's going on with me other than my home group and my sponsor? So I found it very, very important for me to have a support group. You know, in 2019, you know, I've been married in August of this year, it'll be 21 years. And I need to add this and this to the same person. I remember in this August will be 21 years, but I need to let y'all know that it always has not been rosy, happy, gorgeous. I mean, what you see is not all is what is real. So what in 2019, you know, and when me and my husband were married 5 years, I thought I was gonna kill him at one point. I did. I was scared because I am a very independent person, and I've always been independent. So when we got together, it was a struggle because I didn't want to lose my independence. So at 5 years, when we were married 5 years, now mind you, I'm still going to meeting. I've worked all the steps that time. I'm still participating in my recovery, going to meetings, doing service work, talking to my sponsor. I got sponsees. But at 5 years, when we were married, I literally wanted to kill him. But then I was trying to figure out how I was going to get away with it. Because I played the tape all the way through to when I was with my boyfriend and how I wanted to commit homicide, how I wanted to kill him. But I had to, you know, play the tape all the way through. And what I thought of was, who's going to take care of my daughter if I'm locked up? So we got through it some kind of way. And I believe it's through my higher power and with prayer that I was able to get through that at 5 years, when we were 5 years into our marriage. As the years went by, it was good sometimes, bad most of the time, good, some, you know, sometimes, and that went on for a while. But it got really bad in 2019. My husband came to me and he said he did not want to be married anymore. And I was looking like, really? You don't want to be married anymore. Okay. And he said, I think I want a divorce. I said, okay. I don't know what he expect me to say or do. I said, okay. Whatever you decide, that's what we're going to do. And I didn't think any more of it. And then a couple of days later, we sat down and I had a conversation about, do you want this? Are we going to do this? Are we going to do that? And what is going to happen? And what I said was, I don't know. You are the one that asked for the divorce. You let me know. I remember after that time, we went to the ABCNA January of 2020. And I was in a state of devastation that, okay, will I be able to maintain my living status as I've known it to be from a divorce? And I like, hell yeah, I did that shit before he came, and I can do this shit when he leave. I can do that. Ain't nothing wrong. Hey, I'm the baddest bear in the park, boo-boo. I can do that. I told myself, you know what I'm saying? Until that shit hit the fan, I'm like, oh shit, I'm getting ready to be by myself. But let me tell you, I was ready to go through the pain. I was ready to rearrange my life. I was ready to do all of that instead of go through the frustration and the anxiety of going through what I was going through living with him. It was like he was my roommate. You know, we lived like that for years, you know. Hey, how you doing? All right, I'll see you later. What's for dinner? I don't know, you figure the shit out yourself. Okay, I'll see you later. I'm going to a meeting. Where you going? I'm going to a meeting. You know, it was this for years. Pass by, come back. You know, I'm going here. You're going there. We're going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm not going there. I'm not doing this. You know, it's like, oh my God, I got a roommate that I call my husband. I'm like, this don't even feel right. So we went to the convention, and at that time, I was on the 11th step, sought through prayer and meditation. And that's what I did. I sought through the prayer, and I sought through the meditation. I went through the feelings of being alone, although he was still there. But I went through all of that because going through, you know, the what ifs and what isn't. And how is this going to be? So after the convention, we sat down for a little bit and we talked about, you know, how we was going to do this and how we was going to do that. And we said, we got a whole bunch of shit to separate. So I don't know what happened. All I know is that it worked out that we didn't get a divorce. We didn't separate it. And I believe it was through my prayer and my meditation and also looking at me for who I really was. You know, because I always want to point the finger at you and say, what the fuck is wrong with you? And I want to point the three at me. They're like, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm okay. It's your ass that got to go. It's your shit. You this and you that. I can always find something wrong with you so I can be okay with me. So, you know, everything about you was wrong and I'm fine. Devastated. Lying to myself once again about how it should be and how it is. You know, just for the facade of how it looks on the outside, but nobody really knows what's really going on between the front door and the back door. You know, so went through that. It was okay. I don't know what happened. Pandemic came. Out of work for a while, a month and a half. Went to visit, my daughter lives in Orlando. I went to visit my daughter in Orlando and came back. Still pandemic, still, you know, they not back to work yet. Sort of kind of, you know, going through the motion of everything with this relationship is okay, knowing damn well it wasn't. And then I heard, I'm going to Las Vegas for 6 months because I got season tickets. And I'd be like, I said, okay. Yes, I'm going to be home alone for 6 fucking months. I'm going to have the time of my life. Yes, yes, yes. But when I shared it with others, my support group, when I shared it with my sponsor, all I heard was, you're going to let him? I'm like, I'm going to let, what? Where the hell that come from? He's a grown-ass man, I'm a grown-ass woman. If he want to go, let him go. Because I believe in abstinence makes the heart fonder. But I believe I needed that time for me. You know what I'm saying? To regroup about how I was feeling, what I was thinking, what was going on, what do I want my life to be? You know what I'm saying? Because I have a choice in this matter. You know, so I can choose to or choose not to. But I believe that time was needed. We needed to be separated. We needed to be apart because I needed the time with me and my God to figure out my feelings on the inside and out. So I let it be known that, hey, I'm going to miss you. I love you. I'm going to miss you. Bye. See you when you come back. All right, good. Yeah. Have a good time. And I let him know that when you go, you take you with you, and when I stay here, I'm gonna be here with me. And it was great for me because I got to be at peace with who I am. You know, because I've worked on myself enough that I was not the liar that I was in the beginning. I can be trustworthy. I was being a little bit honest with you about how I was feeling and what I was doing. You know, I was not that thieving, lying bitch before I came here. I was not that person anymore, so I needed that time to feel through who I was and what I had become since I had worked some steps and applied the principle of those steps in my life. You know, it's another thing to work yourself. But I found out for me that I need to apply the principle of each one of those steps in my life and see if they bring me closer to who I really want to be or who I really am. Because I am not that person I was when I came in here in 1996. Not. So, enjoyed 6 months of pure peace. No, all this, you know, there was no chaos, there was no confusion. Shit was where it was where I left it. Shit was where it would have been when I come back. Shit was there. And I loved every minute of it. And what I told my sponsor was that, you know, it's good because now I know what it feels like to live alone. And I'm like, I think I can enjoy living alone. I think I would love to, you know, be by myself. Through all the pain, I love being by myself. In reality, no, I just miss them and I love them. And being by myself was right here at that time in that moment. You know, so I had to get honest with what was really going on, that we needed that time apart so we can get back together and figure out how this relationship is supposed to work, or how we want it to work based on, you know, you went in that corner and I went in that corner, so we're going to come back and see how we can regroup and try to make it work. And for me, it has worked, because what I have to do is not say everything I think, and everything does not need a reply. And I'm like, damn, what a concept. It was just that simple. And it worked for me. And I continue to not have a reply to every question, because you don't like it, I'm not going to make you like it. Because you don't see it, I'm not going to make you see it. So everything is, okay, you take care of you, and I do this to take care of me. And it has worked. So I continue to do that with people in my life, not make it be my way all the time, or not make it want to be my way all the time. Because I realized too, and work on some steps, that I got some control issues, that I want to control a whole bunch of shit. I mean, from the A to the Z, I want to control it. But I found out in working the steps that I need to stay in my lane and control what I can control that affects me, no one else. And it has worked for me. That I'm staying in my lane and taking care of myself. I can't take care of me and take care of you, because you ain't going to like the way I want to take care of you. You want to go over here and I want you to stand right here. Or you want to wear this and I'm like, nah, you got to wear this. I'm like, no, it's too complicated. It's too frustrating. And it's not allowing me to center myself with the God of my understanding. It's too much. So what I did, I relinquished my control. And now I'm free to be me. I love, love, love that I, and it's only through working the steps, sharing it in a meeting, talking to it with my support group, that I was able to get there. Because before then, I wasn't there. Because I'm controlling everything. What we eating, the way you wash the dishes, how you put the dishes in, how you take them out, how we put the shit in the refrigerator, how it's not going to be in the refrigerator like that, your ass ain't doing it this way, why you going over there, you should be over here. That shit is a lot of fucking work. I don't have to do it. I do not have to do it. And I am so freaking free. So, newcomer, old-timer, I have a question for you all that I ask myself on a daily basis. The question is, what am I doing for my recovery today? Because it's all about me. Because if I'm doing what I need to do for my recovery today, and I'm at peace with it, you will be too. So I do that. I take care of my side of the street, and I have no control over what's going on over there, and I don't want to have anything to do with that shit that causes me chaos and confusion. Because I literally says that simplicity is the key. And it also says if it ain't simple, it ain't spiritual. So I try to live that way today. But it took me a long time to get there. I need to let y'all know, I ain't just got here. It took me a while to get here to where I am at peace with who I am and what I do and what I say and who I connect myself with. I'm at peace with that today. I don't have an issue with that. But I'm real, real, real grateful that I asked for the help when I asked for the help. My mother took me to the treatment center to get the help. I fell down and bumped my head, but I got back up and got some more help. And I still continue to get the help today with you all. Thanks for letting me share.